Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to St. Timothy's here in Crookes, Sheffield. It's lovely to have you with us. Welcome on this Advent Sunday. Really glad to have you and look forward to sharing worship and prayer and praise and God's word with you. As we begin, let's greet each other in the name of our Lord. May the Lord be with you. And the collect, the prayer for today, is a prayer that we might turn away from the darkness of sin to the light of holiness. Let's pray together. Almighty God, as your kingdom dawns, turn us from the darkness of sin to the light of holiness, that we may be ready to meet you in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Bible readings this morning are from the first letter to the Corinthians and from Mark's Gospel, and they're going to be read to us by Alan and Rosemary Anderson.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3-9. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
This reading is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24-37. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. Today is Advent Sunday, the beginning of the new church year, and we find ourselves waiting to celebrate the start of a whole new era in our relationship with God, when our Lord Jesus came down from heaven to live amongst us. The wait for Christmas has begun. You might have already bought your Christmas trees and started putting up your fairy lights, but from today you don't have to be embarrassed about it. If you haven't already got your Advent calendar, you need to get it now. Because it's the Advent calendar above all which marks this season as a period of waiting. I've even seen one marketed as Countdown to Christmas. The word Advent means something is coming, something is about to happen. It may seem that the church year should start with Christmas. On the face of it, that would make sense. The birth of a baby is, after all, a new beginning. But those who've had babies will know that's not where it starts. The beginning is earlier, when the couple find that they're expecting. They wait with joyful and sometimes fearful anticipation, and some frantic preparation, and helpless wondering about how things will turn out. Or the beginning is earlier still, when all you have is a picture in your mind, a kind of mental prophecy of the family you will one day have. But you're still waiting to conceive, and you're still wondering if it will ever really happen. Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, waited so long that she was beyond childbearing age. Her husband, Zechariah, didn't really believe it was possible. Yet only so late in the day did God judge the time to be right. People don't usually have much enthusiasm for waiting. Making things happen is what's valued in this world. Waiting is generally thought to be a passive experience, perhaps even a waste of time. But where we see examples of waiting in the Bible, and there are many, we find that it's a creative experience, a formative process. Waiting in Advent hope is not about inertia and leaving it all to God. Waiting on God helps us to focus on the purpose and direction for our life according to God's will. And at the end of waiting in the Bible, for better or worse, you do find you're not the person that you were at the beginning. Advent is a wake-up call to the church to watch and pray. And not to stop there, but to see what God is doing and join in. You will have noticed, by the way, that the Advent reading was not a very Christmassy one. It's one filled with drama and dire warnings. Of the many sermons online which I've attempted to read recently and tried to plagiarise, in an attempt to do justice to this challenging subject, none of them gave a very reassuring message. Several said how confusing and unclear the passage was. Among other things, this is because Jesus is telling us about two events: the coming destruction of the temple and the second coming of Jesus. And it's not always clear, well, it isn't to me anyway, where one stops and another one begins. And to be fair, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple must have seemed at the time to be the end of the world. To the Jews who built it, these were enormous structures in which they had great faith. The city, and especially the temple, must have looked as if they were going to be there for all time. We know when the temple was destroyed. It was in 70 AD. But no one knows when Jesus is coming back. Jesus didn't know. Only the Father knew, he said. And so it's actually quite funny that throughout history, people have studied the Bible to try and find a way to predict the time of the apocalypse. As if God might have accidentally left a clue by showing his workings out and giving himself away. In modern times, each one of the following have been thought by some to be a sign that the final judgment is imminent. There have been diseases and pandemics, including the one we're experiencing at the moment, and also including the Black Death, earthquakes and tsunamis, mass migrations of refugees, wildfires ravaging California and Australia, devastating floods in several countries, and the plague of locusts in East Africa. The Great War was, of course, the war to end all wars, and it was followed by the Second World War and countless wars and rumours of wars ever since. Christians have been among those peoples being persecuted. and it seems like some things which we thought we could trust are now changing so fast we just can't keep up. When we go through crises and sufferings, and we realise that the things of this world that give us the illusion of security might fall apart, giving way to something unexpected, we might begin to doubt God's love for us or his faithfulness. It's not so much that darkness is our enemy as falling asleep. When we give in to fear and shut our eyes because we've stopped believing that it's worth watching and waiting. As I've said, I've read rather a lot of other people's sermons on this. There appear to be two opposite and equal mistakes we can make in response to Jesus' words. One is to misunderstand them and worry about the apocalypse all the time. But the other is not to worry enough and to ignore or downplay it. I think my rejection of my former mistake might have been so forceful as to propel me into the latter mistake. I found these verses disturbing, and I shouldn't do, should I? After all, whenever I say the Lord's Prayer, I pray for his kingdom to come. I want it to, don't I? Surely, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I shouldn't be afraid of it. Doesn't the fact that I'm disturbed by the thought of judgment suggest that all is not well in my relationship with Jesus? Or why would I be afraid to think about it? The Christmas story is punctuated with the words, "Do not be afraid." If I need to know how God feels about me, I could look at the cross, look at what he went through for me. Judgment shouldn't be a terrifying prospect, because the certainty of judgment comes with the assurance that the one who judges us is Jesus, who knows what it is to be human, and lives to pray for us to his Father. On the other hand, anything Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he died must have been deadly serious. When you see natural disasters increasing everywhere, there's a sense of helplessness. It feels like a sign that the world is hastening towards its end. "No," Jesus said to his disciples, "it's a sign that, sadly, everything is normal." A sign of the end would be Jesus, and it's too late to worry about it now. A sign of the end would be the event itself. He's coming in clouds of glory at a time we don't expect. So don't waste your time obsessing about it now. Don't waste your time obsessing about the news. As Ron Moody once said, "I think I'd better think it out again." If the prospect of judgment alarms us, the answer is not terror or denial, but turning to Jesus. There's nothing we can do to prepare for Jesus' return, apart from to prepare ourselves. Jesus isn't telling us how to predict. He's telling us how to live our lives. He urges us to keep watch, to stay awake, and to stay alert. Keeping watch is a very specific task. It's not just hanging around or hunkering down waiting until it's all over. We need to keep praying, reading our Bible, saying our creed, reminding each other of what it is we believe and who it is we follow. We need to keep awake, yes, but we also need to keep each other awake. If we are open and alert to God in prayer, he will lead us to the place where we can best serve him. It might be something quite simple, like what Jenny was saying a couple of weeks ago about how to use our money thoughtfully. Simple doesn't mean it's not profound or meaningful. Sometimes we can be profound just where we've been put, as a partner or as a parent, as a colleague or a neighbour. Allowing ourselves to be led by God is an adventure. Did you see what I did then? Adventure comes from the same origin as the word advent. An adventure is when something is coming, something is about to happen. It's risky. With God, it's risky in a good way, because it might be something quite ordinary, but it might be something we never thought we'd be involved with. We're on an Advent adventure here at St. Tim's now. as we watch what God is doing with St. Timothy's and the vine. Where are we going? No one really knows. Let's see where it is that God leads us. And meanwhile, we're heading towards Christmas, when Jesus came to us humbly and unobtrusively. The second time it won't be like that. When he comes, you and everyone else will recognise it. You won't be able to miss it, but it will take you by surprise. Be on watch. Keep alert. Be ready. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, when you come again, I pray find us ready. Find us alert. Let us always look to you for reassurance and for leading. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. Come now to our prayers, which today will be led for us by Kath Sweetman.
Shall we pray? Dear Father, we reach out to you during this strange and uncertain time of COVID. We need your strength more and more as our own becomes shaky. We pray for your guidance about protecting ourselves and others. Also about getting the balance right to reach out to others when needed. In today's parable, we see how you reached out to the centurion, who was from a different race and culture, and you healed his servant. Please help us to follow your example and to be aware of people in our world and in our city who may be very different from us but still need our support. We pray that the tier system introduced this week won't cause more division within this country. We pray that the livelihoods of those most in need are protected. We pray for wisdom for this government, that funds may be put where they are needed and restrictions only where they actually will slow or halt the spread of the virus. We pray that as Advent begins, that we can be ready in our hearts to receive Jesus, that we can be open to knowing you more deeply and hungering for your presence within us. This will be a Christmas different from those we have known in the past, but we ask that we can find ways to worship and to celebrate your coming to the world creatively and imaginatively. Please help us to draw others into a Christ-centred Christmas. Father, we thank you for the wonderful church that is the Vine, that celebrates its 30th birthday today. We thank you that through prayer and diligence, our spiritual leaders have found a way for us to share clergy and to work together. We give thanks that we've been able to meet Will and hear him preach and can clearly see what a true and faithful servant of yours he is. We are thankful that firm plans are in place and for the reassurance that this gives us. Father, at this time, we still have many worries and concerns about the COVID situation. We're thankful that a vaccine is in sight and we pray that it can be distributed efficiently and fairly. We pray for protection for our most vulnerable brothers and sisters. Also, the economic problems caused are a personal worry for many people. We pray that our government can make wise decisions as they help small businesses and individuals to cope and survive. We pray that the unfortunate decision made to reduce Britain's overseas aid may be balanced or compensated for in some other way so that no vulnerable person would suffer as a result. Please, Father, encourage us to have generous hearts and to share what we have and to spend our money where it will help most. And Father, we're sorry for the times when we have acted selfishly and for the times when we haven't completely trusted in your love. We praise you for your love and your faithfulness to us at this time, Father. Our hope is in you. We bless your name. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Kath. Come now to our notices. Next Saturday is our Christmas Tree Festival. You'll have had information about that in the church newsletter email if you've received that. Christmas Tree Festival with a difference. It'll be happening both across the community and online. We really look forward to that. There's some other exciting things as well, including a teddy bear hunt. Do have a look at the church email notices for details, or visit our website, sttims.org.uk/Christmas, and you'll find the details of that there. Next week, we hope on Wednesday, the end of the current lockdown 2 will be announced, and we'll move into the tiered system that we were in before. Sheffield's in tier 3. As we understand it, that means we can return to having services here in church with people present in person as well as online. So as before, if you want to be here in person, you won't be able to sing, I'm afraid, and we will need to ask you to wear a mask throughout the service, but it would be great to have people here. If you'd like to join us, please do send me an email or a text or ring me to let me know you're coming, as we need to have an upper limit on numbers. And it's good to know who's coming in advance. And finally, a reminder that our evening service, the Harbour, will continue as usual at 6:30 this evening on Zoom. Again, the links for that are on the church email. We're going to sing again, our final song for today, a song that expresses the Advent hope, Longing for Light. Thank you to everybody who's helped with our service this morning. Thank you, Roger, for preaching. Thank you to Aidan and Chris for looking after the technical staff, to Rosemary and Alan, to Sophie, and to Kath Sweetman as well for the prayers. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. May God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy, and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and those whom you love, this day and always. Amen.